Smith, Louis H. Julie, and Pendleton Rogers, John M. Rutherford, common counsel, Stephen M. Hall, deputy city attorney, Richard E. Hill, Jr., assistant city attorney, appellate counsel.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is William Shoemake. I represent the appellant Glen Rose Building LLC. With me at the council table is Mr. Pendleton Rogers and Mr. John Roth, my partners in this case. I've had the honor of appearing before this court over the last 30 years a number of times, and I believe this is probably the most straightforward issue I've ever brought to this court. Essentially, the city of Richmond, in order to encourage investment in older buildings in the city, pursuant to Section 58.1.32.21, enacted an abatement program, basically under which And a property owner who substantially invests, and I would like to have 3 minutes for rebuttal. I wanted to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Basically under which a property owner who qualifies under the code and substantially invests in an older property gets a partial tax exemption based on the difference between the original starting value and the final value. And that tax exemption phases out over a period of years. And that is for the tax exemption on real estate taxes. Specifically, under 98-135, which was the operative code section in 2006 when they applied, the abatement program provided that the owner, as provided in this section of property qualifying for partial exemption of real estate taxes, plural, because of the rehabilitation of a structure. The issue before the court is whether the special district tax, which is an additional tax based on the value of real estate, which can be levied against the real estate, is a real estate tax or not.
It's really just an add-on real estate tax.
That's exactly what it is, Your Honor. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the city ordinances dealing with the special district tax, for example, 98-816, levy and collection, all assessments levied under this article shall be added to the general real estate levy for the property and shall be subject to the following sections governing the levy and collection of real estate taxes. It's actually part of the real estate tax bill.
Mr. Shoemake, yes. You said this was straightforward, and I'm having a difficult time understanding why it's not. And I guess it's my read of 98-816 that somehow I'm missing the point. But it says the following sections apply to the special district tax. 123, 124, 127, and 129. But you're trying to apply 149 to the special district tax. How do we get there?
No, I mean, I think that's what that is saying is that you're doing the levy and collection pursuant to the statutes that authorize the tax exemption.
Right. You levy it, you collect it according to the statutes that apply to the tax exemption. But it doesn't include 149, which is the abatement code provision. Isn't 149 the abatement code provision?
It's 135, Your Honor. But if you look at those sections, what it is saying is that's governing the levy and collection of real estate there too. So it talks about you have to be able to assess a real estate tax on a property in order to have this tax abatement. I think if you look at the Richmond versus City of Richmond, City of Richmond versus the Richmond-Petersburg Turnpike.
Now, I don't have any quarrel with your interpretation of that case. My only question is as I've asked, and I guess you've given me the answer that you have. But if 816 says four of the provisions in Article 3 apply to Article 14, and the one provision that talks about the abatement is not among them, why do we apply the abatement to the special district tax?
Because I would say this is under the letter. You have to look at the exemption. And the exemption clearly says, under that statute, that you get an exemption from the taxation of real estate. That's the specific language in that ordinance.
You talk about 152, or which specific provision are you?
I am referring to, for example, in 2006, I think it would be 98-135, okay. Where it says it applies to partial exemption from real estate taxes is provided for qualifying properties. I then also think it then got switched to 152 and 155 when it got recodified. But that's pretty straightforward. It applies to real estate taxes. And I don't think anybody can argue this isn't a real estate tax. If you look at 816, Your Honor.
Say that again. I didn't hear you. You don't think anybody could argue that this is a real estate tax?
No, it's not a real estate tax.
Okay.
I misspoke. I think that...
What is not a real estate tax? I'm sorry.
The special district tax,
okay.
Which even on page one of their brief in opposition, they said it's a real estate tax. The issue is, but is it somehow not a real estate tax for the purposes of this ordinance? And so we're in a position of saying it's a real estate tax, but it's not a real estate tax. I think on the levy section, Your Honor, what 816, all that's doing is it's talking about how you levy the taxation. So that's dealing with how you levy it, not whether it applies or doesn't apply to the special, to the tax abatement program. 816 is simply saying levied under this article shall be added to the general real estate levy. So that's all that ordinance is doing. It's not exempting or carving out what is or is not a real estate tax.
So your argument is entirely within the boundaries of 152, former 135, which
yes.
Simply says...
Now, in trying to overcome the plain meaning of Section 135, the city has basically argued, one, that, well, the money doesn't go into the general fund. And opposition is clearly, you know, what they do with the money is irrelevant as to whether or not it's a real estate tax. The issue on whether something is a real estate tax is how you impose it. How is it assessed? I mean, this is assessed on the value of the property as a percentage of the property. It's levied just like the real estate taxes. It's part of your real estate tax bill, and it becomes a lien on the real estate. So what they do with the money is not relevant. The issue is, how is it structured? I think that also is the lesson of the City of Richmond versus the Richmond-Petersburg Turnpike case. That was a situation in which there was a special assessment, I think, for sidewalks and whatnot. That clearly wasn't going into the general fund. This court clearly held that's still a real estate tax because it is affixed to the value of the property and it can be a lien on the property. The other thing that the City of Richmond has argued that somehow they are correct because they had the right under 15.2.2403 to make the assessment on the entire value of the property. But we're not arguing what they have a right to do. Under 15.2.2403, you can see it is very general. They have great flexibility on what properties they're putting the special district tax on. Even down to classes of types of real estate in the district, they can even have the full assessed value on properties that are involved in special uses like land banking and so forth. Provided they get the permission of the owner. The issue, though, isn't what they could have done. Our simple point is, what did they in fact do? And they had a very broad statement in their abatement ordinance, which was you get an exemption on all your real estate, on all taxes on real estate. And so if they want to come in with another hearing and an ordinance and amend their ordinance, that may be within their rights to do. We're simply saying, regardless of what they could have done, this is what they did. It's a real estate tax. My client, which invested millions of dollars in rehabilitating this, is entitled to have that portion of his real estate tax abated. I mean, all his real estate taxes abated per the ordinance. The next issue that they bring is the rule of construction. And they argue that this court can abandon the plain meaning of 98-135 and the subsequent code sections by resorting to other rules of statutory construction, and that you can harmonize this with the purpose and intent of the special district tax. That is incorrect because, as this court has made clear, the first and foremost rule of statutory construction is the plain meaning. It's almost like a tiebreaker in athletics. You don't get to any other rules of statutory construction if you see the plain meaning of the statute or ordinance. And the only exception to that is if it is manifestly absurd. I mean, this court has repeatedly said that you're going to take the General Assembly at its word and you're not going to rewrite an ordinance or a regulation based on what they might have thought. You give their words meaning. So the issue is it manifestly absurd that the city of Richmond would want to give an exemption to real estate taxes in order to encourage people to invest throughout the city, including in the special districts? That is not manifestly absurd.
Well, you're assuming a burden that's really not that high on yourself. Manifestly absurd under our case law means that it can't work.
That's exactly right. And so it has to be a situation when I'm looking at it is there's no way it can work, and there's absolutely no way that could be met. That is exactly right, Your Honor.
Well, it's not whether it's good policy.
That's exactly right. That is, when it comes to absurd, is you're exactly right, Your Honor. And that clearly is not the situation here. It obviously works. If anything, as we pointed out, we believe it is fully consistent with the purpose of the abatement program. And it worked in this case because our client invested heavily in an iconic property in the city of Richmond. So for those purposes, for those reasons, we would ask for you to reverse the judgment below. Thank you, Your Honor.
3 minutes and 13 seconds. Mr. Hall, excuse me.
That's right. If it please the court, my name is Steve Hall, representing the city of Richmond in this appeal. I appreciate the court's accommodation granting permission to speak from council table. Your Honors, I think one of the key things, differences between their approach and ours, is that we think that the court's attention needs to be on the language of the enacting, the authorizing legislation, and especially the city code sections that spell out and authorize what we have called the special district tax. They want to focus on the language of the abatement credit, which is a temporary exemption that has to be narrowly construed against MRB. Instead, they're asking the court to interpret that exception as widely and broadly as they possibly can. The key issue here is whether or not the state code did authorize us to assess this tax against the full general levy or the full assessment of a property and whether or not we did. And when you look at two city code sections, the first is 26-1032, which used to be 98-816, the key language there is that this tax shall be added to the general real estate levy for the property. That means on top of the full assessed value or book value of a property, not that value minus an abatement, and not that value minus any other credit. And the reason I mention that is because of the administration of the special district tax. And getting to Chief Justice Lemons' point here about whether or not their position would frustrate the special district tax, you have to understand that this tax, under the Virginia Code and the City Code, has to be raised and spent all within that small district of several, I don't know exactly how many city blocks. It has to be raised and spent in that small area. The way that program is administered right now, the city is able to look at all of the property values within that district and determine what the full assessed value is of the properties, and then know what the revenue for this special assessment or special tax will be, and to budget and plan and spend accordingly. If the court allows this very clever argument to stand of MRBs, what will end up happening is that within that small tax base, you will end up having waves of revenue, because certain properties will come into the abatement program and then they'll taper off, and others will come in and others will taper off, and it will make the practical administration of this program very, very challenging.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Put it mildly.
But the question is not really, because none of us are educated in public finance, at least I'm not. And that's, I don't think, the issue anyway. I think the issue is the special district tax a real estate tax? I'm sort of confounded by the thought that we would not call it that. What is it if it's not a real estate tax?
Well, Your Honor, ultimately we up to the court to determine the classification. And I looked at the CBAS 2 case from 2015, where you all looked at different categorizations of special assessments, special taxes. And it is certainly clear that this tax is applied to the total assessed value of a property.
Can I pause you there for a second?
Yes.
So it is a tax on real estate. Is that correct or incorrect?
It is a tax that is tied to the assessed value of real estate.
So it is,
in the broadest sense.
So it is a tax
real estate.
On real estate.
Right.
Okay, why isn't it also a real estate tax?
Well, Your Honor, the question is whether or not that term real estate tax in the abatement credit, which needs to be narrowly construed, should be construed in such a way as to encompass the special district tax, and for the reasons I'm trying to explain, it absolutely should not.
Well, I understand the policy arguments, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think what we're crossing paths on is we agree it's a tax on real estate, and the question is whether or not it's a real estate tax, and I'm not sure why we go beyond saying, well, yes, it is.
Your Honor, what we're looking at is whether or not when you interpret an exclusion that talks about a tax on real estate, how far does that go?
Taxes on real estate.
Well, but Your Honor, in the CBAS 2 case, you all looked rather extensively at many, many different categories of assessment and taxation. And what we're simply saying is that the special district tax is so unique, it is so insulated and isolated, both under the Virginia Code and the city code, that it needs to be set off on its own. And the reason why the city has written the city code, it's the current city code, section 26.1032 and 26.1066, MRB wants to read words into those city code statutes. They want to say that this can be levied, added to the general real estate levy for the property after you take out the abatement, or after you deduct this, or after you deduct that. Their exception has to be narrowly construed, and in a way as much as possible that gives full force and effect to the special district tax, including how it functions. And so
let me see if I understand your argument. There's two conflicting statutes. One that says you shall tax at full assessed value, and the other says you get a tax break. And so what you're saying is there's two tiebreaker principles. One is you look to purpose, and the other is you narrowly construe exceptions. And so given this collision, irreconcilable statutes, those are the two tiebreakers. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, essentially yes. And in other words, you've distilled that, I think, well. The exception has to be narrowly construed. And if there are two possible interpretations of the exception, case law from this court is abundantly clear that the interpretation against the exception must be applied. And in this instance, because the special district tax is only raised within the district and can only be spent within the district, if you start adding what are sometimes huge abatement credits coming in and out, as properties are rehabbed and taper off and rehab and taper off, it will definitely frustrate the purpose of the special district tax, which is isolated under state law, isolated under the city code. So I think I think Your Honor, you summarized it well.
Counsel, the downtown special service district that is the subject of this assessment, for what purposes is that money spent? It comes in as into a separate account, and then it goes out to provide services within the service district. What services are provided?
The current city code section 26.1067, which used to be 98.843, spells all of those out very specifically. Economic development services, business promotion, beautification and landscaping, public parking, sponsorship and promotion of recreational and cultural activities, and other services that are outlined elsewhere in the code that include things like additional trash collection and things of that sort. And the only way that this program has been administered, and we think can be administered in an orderly way because it has such a narrow and confined tax base, is to take the city code for what it says, which means that this tax must be added to the general real estate levy, not that amount, minus all of these other things. Otherwise, it's going to create, as I said, somewhat of a roller coaster in terms of revenue, because you're not pulling in taxes. You can't even pull in taxes across the street from the district into the district. It all has to be raised and spent right there and only for these purposes.
Okay. Now, we have to decide not only this case, but we have to keep in mind the effect that it will have on future cases. In some fast-growing areas, there are special service districts for water, for sewer, or various other public utilities. Mm-hmm. If a locality was to have a special service district for water and sewer, and were to determine that a fairer way of assessing it, rather than on the base on the real estate value, was to assess it based upon how much water and how much water you use, so that the more water you use, the more you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. Would that then be a real estate tax?
Your Honor, under MRB's description, I would say it would be. And my concern, for example, the city right now can place liens on property if people don't cut grass and collect trash in alleyways. So I think MRB's reading of what is and is not a real estate tax is very expansive, as is their request for the interpretation of this exemption. And I think that is a concern. And one of the things that we would ask the court to consider here is it more reasonable to interpret the word real estate tax in the abatement code sections to refer to the general levy? Because that's the way the city's been applying it. That the real estate that is being the real estate tax that's being referred to there is the general levy tax, which right now is $1.20 on every $100 of assessed value. That by narrowly interpreting that term in that exception, you're keeping the abatement program running the way it has with great success for years without endangering the administration and funding of a very unique, completely separate
except that the special district tax is a tax on the base valuation of the real estate. It's not a user fee for water or anything else. It's a tax on the base valuation of the real estate.
It is, Your Honor, but again, get back to the point of looking at that exception being narrowly construed rather than as broadly as possible, especially as applied to the special district tax. I mean, the reason why we did say that this is a tax on real estate is because it is assessed on a property's total value, and we didn't want to play games about that. But there are special assessments, there are also special taxes, and then there are just general levy taxes. We think perhaps a sounder way of looking at this is that the abatement credit should only be applied to the general levy taxes that are imposed, and certainly not to something specialized and segregated as the special district tax.
I'm not asking you to concede this, but if it turns out that's not the right interpretation, this would be an easy fix for the city. You just amend the ordinance to specify the general Right.
Actually, it would not. It wouldn't be an easy fix. Unfortunately, I wish. The reason why it would be difficult is because if Miller and Rhodes, which by the way already received the benefit for these earlier tax years under the special district tax, now they want a deep discount for all the services they already got. If they start getting a huge credit under this program, and other rehab properties within the district will as well, in order to maintain the same level of services, the city is going to have to constantly adjust the special district tax to compensate for those things for the services.
No, but my point
provided
is,
they're going to be going up and down and up.
I know looking backward, you have a problem because everybody's going to come in and say we want the same treatment. But going forward, if you just amend the text to make it clear that you don't get this same abatement for the special districts that you do get for the general, I mean, why can't you just?
In other words, to amend the abatement code section to specify that we really
that's the full assessment.
The city could do that. We just believe that in trying to harmonize and give full force and effect to the different code sections in the court, that isn't necessary. The court can, on its own, try to harmonize this apparent conflict between clear language about where the tax is placed over the total value of the property and the abatement credit. We could do that, but if we start having to do that, we're going to have to go through and I suppose somehow make it clear that absolutely no exceptions apply whatsoever throughout the city code.
Does the city have any revenue bonds where the revenue stream, where the repayment requirement is tied to the downtown special service district revenue stream?
I do not know the answer to that question. I'm sorry. I think I've covered the main points that I wanted to. We're looking at the Eubanks case and the Richmond Petersburg Turnpike case, and we believe that those are distinguishable because of the language of the statutes in those cases. We've simply laid out here, and I know that I've only got about 1 minute to go, that we would just ask the court to give as much full force and effect to both of these statutory and city code provisions as possible to narrowly construe the exception, which is a temporary exception, which the court must do. And if there are two possible interpretations of that exception, the court should adopt the interpretation against the exception. We think that there is a way to interpret
it. Don't we actually have to add language just like the trial court judge did in this case to get to where you want, which is it's not a real estate tax within the meaning and for the use of the abatement tax credit?
Well,
we have to ignore the plain language and add language.
Well, Your Honor, I would also add that they're trying to add language to City Code 20, Section 1032 by trying to say that this tax shall be added to the general real estate levy for the property, and they want to add after you take out the abatement. So, arguably, each side is claiming that the other one is trying to add language. We think that the trial judge got this correct, harmonized this as much as possible. That the special district tax is unique and would be frustrated if MRB's position is upheld.
If we find that in order to rule for you, we have to add language to the statute, and we find that in order to rule for them, we have to add language to the statute, who wins? Taxing authority or the taxpayer?
In this instance, because they are arguing for an exception that must be narrowly tailored and should be interpreted in a way that doesn't frustrate the other statute, I believe in this instance the city would win because they're arguing for an exception.
I expect he will disagree.
Sure. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Shoemaker, you have 3 minutes and 13 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, Justice Powell, I just want to emphasize again on 816, those code sections deal with procedural issues about how you perfect the levy. So those code sections are dealing with the levy ordinance, not whether or not we are entitled to an exemption on a real estate tax. The other issue is there is no conflict between the ordinances. You have a general real estate tax ordinance, and you have a special tax assessment, which assesses taxes based on the assessed value of the property. They're fully consistent. And then you have an exemption that applies to both of them. And that exemption specifically says, partial exemption is hereby provided from taxation of real estate. And how do they calculate the special district tax? Under 98-842, it says, there shall be levied and collected for each year on all real estate subject to real estate taxation located within the boundary, a special assessment of 5 cents for each $100 of assessed value thereof for general purposes of valuation for the tax year. It's based on the value, the assessed value. They assess it just like the real estate tax, and indeed it is on the real estate tax.
Now, so when did this assessment begin? Not when did it first apply to your property. When was it instituted?
I believe the first I saw was that I believe it was in 1993. The current section was enacted in 2006.
It was actually in effect when your client negotiated.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And your client could have negotiated an ordinance language that eliminated this particular dispute.
Well,
the possibility of this dispute.
I don't think so, because the special district is a general tax for the various districts in the city. And so when you're looking at the ordinance, and he has an ordinance that says you're given a partial tax exemption on your real estate taxes, and this is part of his real estate taxes, he doesn't think he has to negotiate any special relief. And the issue is it a real estate
tax? I presume, though, that on your tax bill, you've got a very specific line item for the general assessment at a certain value and a certain amount per 100 or per 1,000. And then I'm presuming there is a second line item that says special district assessment. Am I correct about that, or is that?
Yes, and it is actually labeled completely as the real estate tax bill, and it's shown up as assessment based on the value of the real estate. And so the issue is that, and the tax exemption for the abatement program is referring to real estate taxes. I mean, it's in the plural. So the question is, how could this not be a real estate tax? I think Justice McCullough was exactly right. They can fix it by changing the ordinance. Our only issue is when you have an ordinance that says I get an abatement and a tax exemption based on real estate taxes, if you find under the City of Richmond versus Petersburg that it's a real estate tax, we're entitled to the exemption. And I would close simply by saying, Your Honor, that as Shakespeare once noted, a rose by any other name. It's a real estate tax. Thank you.
I've got a quick question for
yes,
you, Mr. Shumate. In your application for correction of erroneous assessments, did you really even talk about this particular issue?
Oh, what we asked for is they started out, Your Honor, by having an erroneous amount of what our final value was. So my client paid them under protest, and then they filed this action. And then in their relief, they said we should get a refund for all taxes improperly paid. And so the City of Richmond, near the eve of trial, agreed they'd messed up the final value. We'd asked specifically in relief for a refund of all taxes improperly paid based on the final value. The issue is, okay, what is the tax that we should get refund on? Is this included in the tax? So we have specifically asked for a refund of our real estate taxes. What the city is saying is, no, this really isn't a real estate tax. So we've asked for it in our relief. And I would note, if you file, it becomes a jump ball. Once you file, I mean, theoretically, we could have been hit for more taxes if we were wrong. So in this instance, we think it's clear that we're entitled to a refund on all our real estate taxes. Thank you.
Justice Mims would like to let you to know that Shakespeare also had one line that said, let us kill all the lawyers.
And I know for the reason was to prevent someone who wanted to overtake the government as well. That's not known by the public.
Good point. All right. Call the next case.
Warehouse Master.